This episode of Auto Dealer Live is brought to you by Flick Fusion.
That time again. It's time for Auto Dealer Live. What's going on? We are, yes.
We are.
We are live.
Oh my gosh. I was waiting for the opener.
That was the opener.
That was it.
Me being loud and obnoxious was it. Yeah.
Joe's got no mic.
Joe.
I had a mic. There I am.
Oh, there you are.
Now I'm on.
No one turns Joe's mic off or puts him in a corner.
That's right.
That's right.
So, I'm Chris Fritcher, and I'm here with Mikey. We got David Cribs over in the corner, or lack there a corner. I'm going to say a corner.
Nobody puts David in the corner either.
Yeah, no one puts David in the corner. And we got Joe Calla.
What's up?
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So what's going on, guys?
Oh, well. Just
not everybody talk at one time.
Well, seriously. Hey, you know what? We have an incredible show coming up, but now that our producer stepped out of the room, you're hearing me off camera. But that's okay. we've got an incredible show. Look, dealers from all over the country, welcome to Auto Dealer Live. You're tuning in today. We've got four amazing experts from all around the country. We're going to be getting into today. Feeling like my ears are coming out of it. Okay, so we're going to be getting in today to the topic of phone appointments, right? Yeah. Working over the phone, appointments, but not just booking appointments for the sake of booking appointments. Look, every dealer wants to make appointments, and every dealer reaches out by phone or has incoming calls. But the point is, how good are you at developing appointments that actually stick and show up? And I think that's going to be the topic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important because, you know, as we speak to dealers all the time, it's not just about how many appointments are set, and that's so many times what, you know, dealers are focusing on, you know, today, how many appointments do we have? It's all about how many of those are showing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I want a quality appointment. I don't want air appointments. I don't want appointments where, you know.
Air appointments.
Yeah,
an air. You don't want to be ghosted.
I don't want an air appointment. In other words, like, they said they're going to maybe stop in after work.
Yeah, there you go.
Show
that's
up.
What
so
I was going
to
say.
I'm just going to put them on the board.
Yep. Oh, what time, Joe? Or just any time?
Yeah, between, you know, 5 and 7.
It's a 35% chance they're going to show up, so I'm going to put them on the board.
And so many times, and you know what? I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And the reason why sometimes they do that is because if they don't have it set, they can't get paid on it.
Yep.
So is that a real appointment? No. To me, it's not.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
I agree with you. So I'm excited with the people that we got on today. We're going to talk about that.
I mean, we've got some really talented business development directors who I think will be able to give us some really good creative insight on exactly how we can get that commitment that we were just talking about. And I'd be interested to hear what they have to say. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. They're in the game every day, not just in the game, but they're the ones that are sharing, you know, their expertise with those who are on their team. They're overseeing, they're listening in on calls, you know, and we hear time and time again about the fact that, you know, we are in a time, by the way, where there are so many different lead providers out there, and you can go purchase leads, spend money on leads, spend money on campaigns to get leads. But it's all about those missed opportunities. It's like, do we need more leads, or do we need to just be more effective at working the, and I know some of you are offended by the word leads, right? Instead of customers. I get it. Okay. I'm using that just for sake of ease, but trust me, not undervaluing a client, a customer, right? These are customers. They're real people that we're connecting with, but we've got to get good at connecting.
That's the reason, right? Because they are real people, right?
Exactly.
They are real. That's why it matters.
Exactly. So, and I don't know. I don't know if the skills are, you know, becoming less and less, because let's face it, we're more of a social, you know, a social culture now, just in general, society. We're used to texting. I mean, I prefer texting, things like that. Mm-hmm. But there comes a time when you've got to be able to connect with someone, you know, either over the phone or one-on-one, or even maybe through a text, just being able to send a compelling message that will get someone to come in.
And the compelling part is what's hard. I mean, we're more connected than we've ever been today, but in some ways we're, you know, the least connected in regards to the quality of the connections.
Absolutely.
And that's what a lot of people struggle with.
I would also like to know, from talking to these folks that we have on today, you know, is there a particular lead that comes in that they view as a better lead than others? Like, if one comes in through Facebook Messenger as opposed to their website, Is that, you know, what? How do they value those leads that are coming in that end up potentially turning into appointments and sales? Mm. So I think that would be a good question to ask too.
Sure. Yeah. No doubt. Well, listen, you know, first and foremost, make sure you guys share the show.
That's right. I know we can share.
We are going to have some giveaways. We're going to give it away now. But I know that for sure we're going to have some really good giveaways. But definitely share the show. Make sure you comment. Get involved. If you're in the industry and you guys have questions, go ahead and put them on there. We'll go ahead and bring them up. Mm-hmm. Also, just want to go ahead and make an announcement too. David Cribbs is going to be joining the Auto Dealer University team here with us on Monday.
That's right.
Very excited.
Congratulations.
Very excited. Welcome aboard. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you. It is
Vice President of New Business Development. And so it's going to be awesome, man, to have you on the team and sitting not just beside you like this, but, you know, beside you out there working deals, putting business together.
Well, I'm honored. Look, you know, I think for most of you that are tuning in, you're probably familiar with the company here and what we do. We don't really talk that much about it. This show is for you at the dealerships. But the bottom line is we have a lot in common. You know, we're in this world together, in this auto world. And what I'll be doing here are the same types of things that you're doing there on the floor. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share everything that I've had success with in the front end of the store as well.
Yep.
So really looking forward to that. But you know, we're giving away some stuff. All you have to do is like and share the show. We're giving away an Auto Dealer Live hoodie, an Auto Dealer Live long sleeve t-shirt, and a package of books, right? The bite-sized books.
That's right.
Three books.
Right.
That's right.
You guys, are you on camera holding those up?
Yeah, awesome. Right there. Boom.
Sweet. Right there, baby.
Got him.
Sweet.
That's going to be good. Oh, and by the way, Cribs, on a different note, yes. Andrew Breedlove says your jacket is fire.
Oh,
just so you know.
See, that's the second compliment today.
Jacket is fire, you know, every once in a while, right?
Fuego.
Well, you guys gave me a job, so I figured I might as well wear a jacket. So here's the deal. We're going to go to break in just a moment. But before we do, I also wanted to share, because it's no secret that, you know, if you've watched past episodes, especially lately, you've heard us talk and give a lot of examples about Jeff Cowan's Pro Talk.
Yes.
You know, we're going to talk a lot today about a particular area of improving and growing our dealership. And that's going to be the internet department, more or less, phone appointments, things like that. But there's another area I call the profit center, which is the service, drive and service area. Look, this is a gold mine. We all know that are in the business. And but the funny thing is sometimes as dealers, we allow this to be on autopilot because it's making us money, right? But we don't realize what we're leaving on the table. And so I want to challenge dealers right now to check out Jeff Cowan's Pro Talk. We're going to make sure that we have a link to his site on the screen so that you can visit that yourself. And the thing about it, Joe, is that the examples we've given over the last month or two have been staggering when you talk about the numbers. I mean, we talked about, you know, an average dealership having 4 service advisors that could add an extra $600,000 on average to their bottom line.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, to net. So make sure that you're doing that. I want to challenge every dealer to go and check it out. Give them the Pepsi challenge. Say, hey, I got to see this. That's what I would do if I were in your seat. So make sure that we have that information up there. Yeah. So the next thing is, guys, I don't know. I'm about ready. So I say we take a commercial break and bring our panel on.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. You're watching Auto Dealer Live.
I often get asked about success stories. These are just a few of our most recent favorites.
Mr. Villa, Mike Young here, Thurston Auto Plaza, Ukiah, California. Hey, I'm calling just to let you know that 3 months following your training, I was able to achieve level 3 sales status, 45 units in 90 days. First time that I've achieved that in my career, flying high. Like you said, never the same, man. I cannot thank you enough. Your training seriously changed me, man.
David, I would like to go ahead and let you know, after 30 years in the car business, there's been very few people who have motivated me to want to go ahead and train more. And I would like to go ahead and say that I would personally come work for you and do and follow you into any sales process that was ever open or any opportunity. Thank you very much for bringing it. And I've been doing it for 30 years. And I really find what you do in front of a camera very motivating. Thank you.
Charles Fresca. He's been here 5 years.
I've been here for 3 months. Charles Fresca has been 12 to 14 car guy. I set him down and we've been doing some one-on-ones and we went through Own the Phone. We went through the Growth 101 and we went through the new car training. And Charles is not a new guy.
Mm-hmm.
Charles is an old guy that's skipping steps, putting back on the basics. Went through it. Last month, Charles did 22 cars.
Come on.
Today we have a great lineup of guests here, and so we're going to welcome Josh Mitchell, BDC Director at Hubert Vester Auto Group, Sean Christie, Vice President of Sales at Auto Lead Star, Elena Schweda, I believe I'm saying that last name right, if I'm not, I'm sorry, BDC Director at Allen Chevrolet Cadillac, and Ryan Kohler, CEO at Applicant Pro. Thank you guys for coming on.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. We're going to go ahead and start off kind of what we were talking about in the beginning, and I'm going to pitch this right to Josh. Josh, just talking about how do we get quality appointments to show, and tell me a little bit about what you guys do and how to make it effective there.
Yeah, I mean, with trying to get an appointment show, obviously setting the appointment and setting the expectations is critical in order for you to get that appointment to show. But I think it comes down to that confirmation call. I think, you can have those, like you said earlier about the hope appointment, the thinking about possibly maybe driving by sometime this afternoon, maybe possibly. And I think making that confirmation call, where if you're making a confirmation call, if it's a manager, if it's myself as a BDC director, like here at Hubert Vester, we have the sales managers who they're going to be meeting, because we're a centralized BDC. So we're actually not even on the, on the dealership lot. So we're not even close. We're about 5 miles away. And so we have those managers making that confirmation call to seal up that appointment. And it's the person they're going to meet anyways. And so it makes that handoff a little bit easier, so they can kind of get that going for them and ask any other questions that isn't that buying, because they're a manager. So it seems to come across a little better than a salesperson making or BDC rep making that phone call. And they buttons up that appointment real quick.
So I have a question on that. So when they come into the dealership, are you telling them to ask specifically for a manager, or do you already have preset salespeople? So it's a manager coming in for it.
It's a manager.
Okay.
Now, I mean, there's certain situations where, if we have to get a salesperson involved, if there's pictures, if they want to, see if it has any smoke in it or anything like that, any type of situation where the salesperson is going to have to go out there and touch it. Then we'll have a salesperson kind of get involved into that situation. So then the BDC rep and the sales rep are now working together with that customer, doing follow-up with that customer at that point.
Hmm. Nice. Makes sense.
Yeah, so I want to go to Elena. Elena, I've talked to, so many rock stars in the auto business when it comes to, internet, dealing with phone sales and phone ups and things like that, and reaching out to leads, obviously, whether we're calling them or they're calling us. And one thing I've heard over and over again is an inbound call. An inbound call is probably the hottest lead that a dealership can have, even above a walk-in, which is pretty crazy. And I think the significance of that and where the philosophy is there is that, most of the information that a consumer would want up until the point where they're almost ready to pull the trigger, they can find on their own. They're at a new place when they actually pick up the phone and call you. So, Elena, let's talk about the quality of that lead. And then if you could give me an example of maybe what you're sharing with your team that you feel has to be accomplished on a successful call.
Of course. So I 100% agree that the inbound phone calls are a very high quality lead. And the difference is that it depends on how people are handling them. So, yeah, it might be a high-quality lead, but if you don't take them to the next level, then it could be just as low quality as somebody who didn't know that they submitted their information at some point, and they'll just call the next dealership. So one thing that we really want to get across from them is not only to get them the information, but asking them qualifying questions and taking control of the conversation and taking them really to that next level, not only to have them come in and meet with you, but also to create that relationship and get that negative stigma that is almost surrounded with the dealership business from an early time, and make it a lot more comfortable for the customer.
Yeah. That's yep, good. I agree with that 100%. I think sometimes I would always say that, what are you going to do to say and convince the customer to interrupt their day,
yeah,
and come and sit in a car dealership? I mean, why are they going to do that?
You know, right.
What is it that you're going to say?
Aside from just they want a car.
Right. Yeah, of course they want a car. They can, you know, but at the end of the day, what will you do to help convince them that they'll be okay and they can have confidence that they're going to be treated differently at your store than someone else?
Right. Exactly.
Well, let's go to Ryan Kohler, because I have a couple of ideas here, Ryan. And, you know, I think Elena kind of touched on it when she talked about asking qualifying questions. I think one of the things that helps us, Joe, for someone to be comfortable is being able to connect with them. And I think that starts with the qualifying questions. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, maybe share something that would be, and I'm going to put all of you on the spot. I know Ryan's not going to have a lot of time to think about this, but I'm going to ask each of you on the panel to think about a question that is a compelling question that might open up some doors that isn't the typical qualifying question, like, do you want a two-door, a four-door, a truck, an automatic, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe something else that is a qualifying question that could open a door. Because ultimately, I think you've got to open a door that's going to give you a connection with a client on that call. But Ryan, maybe share some insight on this.
Sure. I mean, I'm always going to want a why question, right? So why are you looking for a car right now? Why are you looking? What motivated this? Because clearly the two and the four door is kind of a feature. It's not a benefit, right? And so if I know why, there's probably some pain there. My car broke down last week. We're going on a big trip. And that gives me the ability to agitate that pain, to kind of make it a bigger deal. So I'm a big fan of why questions for me.
Yeah. Hmm. That's good.
They could have also had a lifestyle change, you know, a baby or something else. So it could be something that prompted them.
Yeah, and that's the idea, is that you're discovering that, right? Now, mm-hmm. now they're telling you something that they probably haven't discussed with anyone else they've called so far. And I think that gives you the opportunity to connect. So you're mm-hmm. spot on, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good point. And, you know, I'd like to go to Sean real quick as well, just to pull you into the conversation. You know, I saw a comment from Andrew Breedlove. He just said, how about taking it from a verbal conversation and doing a visual presentation where you're walking them through the reconditioning process, what you did to the car, Carfax, et cetera. So why don't you tell us a little bit? I know you work with a lot of dealerships and you work a lot digitally. You know, maybe you know, tell the viewers in your opinion some things you can do even before they come into the dealership, maybe even before they get on the phone, you know, part of the digital process that could really increase the quality or the experience of that person. Because we all know, really, when we talk about visiting a dealership nowadays, a lot of times that's, in some cases, your website. I mean, coming in the lot, visiting 1.2 dealerships in person, mm-hmm. but they're visiting a lot more online. You know, they're walking on your digital lot. So what can you do in that process to really do that?
Yeah, great question. But hey, first things first, what do I got to do to get an OG t-shirt? Voice Husky, huh? What do you say?
Oh, you got to be an OG.
All right. Well said. Hey, okay, in all seriousness, to answer the question, so to me, it's like, listen, it comes down to people and process, right? I'm not going to preach to you guys and tell you what to do inside the dealership, because had never spent a day working at the dealership, right? So for me to recommend something, I think that's a little disingenuous, but it does come down to people and process, right? If every dealership has its unique DNA, stick to what works for your dealership, right? But I go to myself and what I preach to my sales team, don't waste people's time, right? We're a vendor. We're coming in pitching a GM, and don't waste their time on the last day of the month and give them what they want, right? I would say the same thing. It's a transparent society today. People are well-researched. Answer the question they ask. Mm-hmm. Don't play games. just give them what they want and give them what they want quickly. And if you, you know, each step of the process, you can make a connection with them. Because if we think if we're going to play games that they're not going to get the information that they want, we're sadly mistaken. They're going to go places and get what they want.
That's interesting. To answer the question they ask, I'd be interested to hear what, you know, what that, some of you guys think about that and like what that means for some of you guys, you know, for Sean and for Elena on the ground every day. Like what, you know, is that something you agree with? And then also, you know, what does that look like for you in terms of answering customers' questions, depending on what those questions might be?
Josh,
this is Sean again. I can just speak to my perspective, just like, again,
sure,
giving you a glimpse into my world, right? We're trying to sell to advertisers, sell to you guys, right? And I see salespeople, same thing, like the GM just asked you a question. You just walked around it and gave a bunch of big words, and now he's irritated, and actually, candidly, so am I. Give the answer, be straight up, because what you do by that, it shows you're professional, it shows you're trustworthy, and you don't have that much time to build rapport. Take all the opportunities that they give you to build that rapport.
Yeah. Hmm. Josh, want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you were asking, like, questions that, you know, I'll ask to get those qualifying questions. Is, you know, I say it like this, and I don't mean it, but sometimes you have to hit, you know, the customer right between the eyes with,
yeah,
what are you looking to accomplish?
Yep.
And it's a simple question, but all of a sudden that consumer will then vomit everything that they're trying to hide from you. And so I think that's it's a great question to, like, if a customer has a question, answer it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because it's very, if we go down the rabbit hole, you're never going to get where you want to go.
Nope.
And, you know, I had a rep ask me yesterday, she was like, he wants pricing on three different cars. I said, well, here's the question. Will he come in without giving him the prices? No. And so at the end of the day, give him the prices.
Yeah.
Because either way, if you're too high, he's not coming in. If you don't give him the information, he's not coming in. If you start dialogue and start going back and forth and kind of creating a deal and start working with the manager and getting that TO and everything starts to flow,
yeah,
then the customer's going to – the likelihood goes up. And so I think you just have to ask them, what are you looking to accomplish in this whole thing? And they'll tell you what their aggravations are. They want to save time. They want to save money. They want this on their trade. They want this payment. They'll just puke everything that you normally would be going down a 9 different question area. They'll puke that information.
Well, you know what I think also happens too,
that's
is
good.
Their anxiety level goes up too. Mm-hmm. Like you can also tell if you have a real person that's really interested in buying a car or not. Because if their anxiety level goes up, now there's an emotional attachment to that question. Mm-hmm. And now you've learned that because they are a little emotional or getting a little bit more involved in the conversation, that they're a little bit more serious. If there's no emotion and there's no guard going up, then they're probably not really in the market. They're kind of kicking tires or something. You know, there's something they're not telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am so glad, Josh, that you brought that question up because I had it written down as a question that I wanted to make sure came up as far as the, you know, what would you want? What are you looking to accomplish? I think that's a huge qualifying question because, like you said, it gives them the opportunity. You said vomit. To share with you exactly what it is that is more of their story, right?
Sure.
And now we have a place to go. Mm-hmm. And when we start there and we're listening to that, all of a sudden there goes that connection, that building rapport. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to Elena on this, but Elena, another thing that I love when I'm doing a call is giving myself permission to stop. In other words, and get off of script and just, again, connect with the client. So, for example, if I have someone, for example, that's, you know, hammering the price or whatever the case may be, I'll do like Josh, I'll give them the price and I'll say, by the way, I notice you put a lot of emphasis on that. Are you having any problems getting prices from other dealers? Because we do hear that occasionally.
Mm. Yeah.
See, now it just gave me not only credibility, but it puts them in a different posture. Like I said it in a way where it allows them to open up about it.
Yeah.
And then they're probably going to share with me, well, yeah, I have, or well, you're my first call. Well, now even if they say, well, you're my first call, now that gives me more intel, right,
yes,
on how to handle that call. So Elena, maybe speak to that.
Of course. So I'm glad that you brought this up. This is actually a situation that just happened this morning. So a lot of dealerships, I feel like, hit on the point where they just don't want to give the customer the price. And bringing up your questions that you did gets them to a different level where they're comfortable with you, where they're going to sit down and they're going to be able to not only connect with you, but you're going to be able to understand that situation better. We had a customer this morning that I had talked to, and she had gone to another dealership, actually went into the showroom, and she said, oh, yeah, they said they were going to give me prices, said they were going to give me prices. I walked out the door, and nobody gave me the information that I was looking for. She sat down with the managers this morning, got her the most accurate information that she could possibly get, and she's changing her husband's work schedule to come in for tomorrow.
Wow.
So that's the big difference, driving 30 minutes out of your way instead of going to the dealership right down the road from you, because you took that customer to the next level. But not only that, you also hit on what was bothering her and the bad experience that she had already had.
Yeah, that's good, man. And you know what? What's great about that is you connected, like you said, you connected with them. And I think what's key here is people don't want to feel like they're speaking to somebody who's trying to sell them anything.
Right.
I think that you know, going back to what David you were saying as well, and even Elena, you know, you're talking about having a conversation to help somebody, and if they can feel like you're genuinely wanting to help them, they're going to take the time, like you said, to drive 30 minutes out of their way and go to a dealership that, you know, they're going to probably pass three or four on the way just to get to you. And I think that that's the key, is really making that connection. And I think even what Josh was saying, when it comes to, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? Another way I say that, or I would have my team say that, is what's important to you? You know, what is it that, you know, really is important to happen during this entire transaction here? What do you want to see happen?
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, oftentimes when we talk about getting on the phone, look, we know it's not easy, right? We're at a disadvantage. We're not in front of someone personally. They can click and hang up at any moment. It's a little different than walking away from you when they're standing in front of you. So, you know, plus there's senses that, you know, the body language, they can't see all of that.
Right.
There's a lot of deficits that we face. But here's the good news. If you skill up on this, if you go back and rewatch the show, reach out. I know all of these guests are open to having a conversation with anyone out there that would want some help. But the point is, this is an opportunity, because oftentimes we're either afraid on the phone, or we're not as comfortable, or this or that, because we may not have those skills. But the opportunity is, if they're calling around, the guy or gal down the street probably sucks, unfortunately. You know, well, I say unfortunately, it'd be an advantage to us at that point. Yeah. But the point is, there's a huge, huge opportunity here. And you can tweak a few things and become a rock star on the phone. So,
and you know, the cool thing is about what you guys were saying, when it comes to having a conversation with these customers, it's not like, you know, sometimes if people hear that, they might think conversation means no direction. It means just kind of having a chat. But that's not, you know, based on the question you just said,
great
like
point.
That would be a clear, that's you're a still leading the conversation. There's still a direction. You're not just joking around talking about the game last night. You have a point still. You're just having it in a way where they drop their guard.
Yeah, I think we need to clarify that this is a sales process that needs to take place on the phone. You're not selling the car, but you are selling the appointment. Ryan,
said about selling the appointment. I want to read a statement from Subaru Steve.
Go ahead. I saw that. That was good.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was getting ready to bring it up.
Real quick, I'm just going to go ahead and talk. It says here, do you believe, Subaru Steve Montgomery said this, do you believe that once you give a price, you're done? If you're not the lowest, you enter spam or junk mail. By building a bond and getting an appointment without a price, you increase your odds 100-fold. Engaging in whatever conversation is needed in a respectful, friendly manner should lead to the appointment. Selling a car over the phone or internet rarely works. The appointment needs to be the goal, and it's just what you just said.
That's a big comment.
The appointment, that last piece there, the appointment needs to be the goal.
The appointment is the goal and the opportunity. And I think when you connect with someone, they're willing to at least give you a shot. You don't have to disclose a whole lot. You can be very general on the phone, or you can get specific, but then also connect. Ryan, would you agree that no matter what, on a phone call, whether someone's in person, but especially over the phone, the only way that you're going to have an appointment that shows is if you're able to give them an experience, and I think we use the experience term a lot, But to me, experience is just defined as you had to walk them somewhere. They had something had to occur on that call that was a compelling reason now for them to actually get in their automobile or get in their Uber and be dropped off at a dealership. Ryan, go ahead.
Oh, for sure. No, and I think this is the same regardless of what you're selling, right? Like, you're setting up this relationship in that first situation, right? And one of the challenges that as we sit here and we're talking about kind of this situation from the perspective of the person on the phone or the dealership is to understand that really what's happening is this journey the buyer wants to take, right? And it's their journey. It's not the sales journey. It's the buyer's journey. And so the, you know, from the very beginning, you're setting up the roles and the situations in this story or dialogue where the buyer is the hero and, you know, you as the sales rep or whoever's on the phone is kind of Yoda. They're Luke and you're Yoda. You're there driving them through, but it's their journey, right?
Right.
And so, you know, asking these questions, knowing what's driving it, what their pain is or what they're trying to accomplish, and those types of things are just there guiding and setting up this concept that there's a reason they want to come in for the appointment. It's because you showed them that you're different, that you're not going to push what you want on them, but instead you're trying to draw out what they're looking to accomplish and you're there guiding them as kind of the expert, right?
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, oh man.
That's good, man.
That was good stuff, Ryan. I'm telling you right now because, you know, we get caught up in the, and Chris, you know, you're a marketer, you're on the phone all the time. We get caught up in checking our boxes with the sales process, right? Instead of thinking about, hey, we need to hone in. And I think this is the difference in someone who's a real sales pro who can hone in on what Ryan just said, which is the buyer's journey.
Yeah.
What we have to create what they need to experience, not what we need to experience. But if we're savvy enough, we can pick it up through all those qualifying questions. Chris.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that goes back to just listening to them as opposed to talking at them.
That's right.
I mean, one of the things we're all at some point in or a time have been sales trainers at some point in time, you know, maybe not you, but I mean, you do training and marketing and things of that nature. So the three of us though have done sales training. Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've always taught and I try to do, and sometimes, like you said, you get caught trying to check those boxes, but try to actually have a conversation where you're asking more questions than you're actually talking at someone, and they'll tell you how to sell them.
That's right.
They'll tell you exactly what their pain points are,
and
you'll be able to actually really help them as opposed to just trying to sell them something.
That's right. Yeah, it's true. And you know what? It goes back to the experience, like you were saying. It's about the experience. People may not be able to remember everything that they hear and what's said to them, but they're going to remember how they felt after that conversation or during that conversation.
And I think it's important, you know, we talk about having those connection moments and asking the right questions so that it cues you up. When people start actually opening up just a little, it allows you to open up a little bit more. So on a phone call, I might just stop and say, Hey, Nancy, you're going to beat me up when you get here, aren't you? You know, I'm going to say little things like that where I can make a little connection because they're going to laugh. And then, and all of a sudden they're going to remember the guy that said that they were going to get beat up. Right.
Yeah.
So maybe go back to that, Josh. I know that, obviously on the phones every day, do you look for those opportunities as well?
Yeah, I'll look for all those opportunities to have fun with the customer, have a conversation with the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things that I teach my BDCs to like have fun, like laugh, smile, like get them joking around. Like you'll be able to build a better rapport and get on kind of common ground with that customer if you have fun with them, because it should be a great experience. It should be a fun experience to buy a car, not this painful experience that we, you know, sometimes put our consumers through. And so have fun, joke with them, like get them kind of loosened up a little bit. Now, I'm not saying they're your friend at any point this time, but they feel a little more comfortable with you, and now you can move a little bit forward. And I think the big question that I want to ask for the group and kind of, you know, obviously we always want to, like, 100% of the calls that come in, we said 100% of the appointments, but we don't. And so I think the big thing is what happens after.
Right.
What happens after that call? You built the rapport, you have somewhat of a level ground with them, but for some reason you can't nail it down. I think is a critical point that goes forward. That happens after that, because a lot of times, as we all know, BDC salespeople, period, I don't care if you're in real estate, I don't care if you're in in automotive, I don't care where you are, they never follow back up. Mm-hmm. And I think a critical step that makes it, like, send that quick email, send that quick text, send that video of just saying, hey, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and make it personalized. Don't mm-hmm. can the video, make it personalized, and just reiterate what you talked about. And yeah. so now you've put a face with your voice. I mean, like, they know who they're talking to. Mm-hmm. You've reiterated all the information you talked about on the phone. That's why it's critical to make notes while you're on the phone. And so now they know what they talked to you about. So if they call that other person, or if they get some other calls or emails from that other dealer, I guarantee you, if they don't set the appointment, if they don't sell it, they're never going to follow up. And so with you creating that process and following up with that customer, you're going to get another stab at it.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. And I had to tell you, I have it with my company. You know, I have to go through our CRM sometimes and look and see, because all the emails and things mm-hmm. are in the CRM,
yep.
and see there are sometimes mm-hmm. things that are promised and we never go back on. And it infuriates me. So I always have a conversation with my salespeople, like, hey, you got to follow through.
Yeah.
If not, you're not doing anything that separates you from everyone else.
Right.
Because 90% of the time, like you said, your competition's not following through. So you should be the one person that actually follows through what you said you're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, real quick, I just want to shift the gear real quick. Elena, we're gonna throw this at you. But one of the things that just came up when, Josh, you were talking about this, and that's when you hire people in your BDC – many times you're hiring them because of their personality. You want them to represent your company. There's something you see in them. But what I've seen happen so many times is then they get hired, and then their personality is lost because now we're trying to turn them into a robot to be like the way we want them to be.
Good point.
I want to just ask Elena, how do you keep the personality of the person alive and keep them and trust them to be able to have that come out in their conversations when they're speaking to the customer so that they can help drive that business in? And what would that look like, and how do you do that?
All right. So it all comes just from the relationship that you build with your team. I don't want my team to be 100% scripted. I think that that's where a lot of people lose good employees and have them start turning into robots when they want them to be, you are stuck to the script, this is all you need to do, instead of actually training them on, okay, yeah, you're starting from one spot and you're ending up in the same place and you need to touch on all of these things. But if the customer brings up something like we had talked about earlier where normal people may not have caught, but if you follow up with them on your next call and you're like, oh, well, how's your daughter, something had come up in your conversation. So we want to make sure that they're still being personable, they're still dealing with people, and they're not acting like a robot, because in general, somebody doesn't want to talk to a robot, or they wouldn't be talking to you on the phone. They would have just found the information on Google, and that's not what we wanted to accomplish. So not only giving them that opportunity to create relationships and have that flexibility, but also to make sure that the office surrounding isn't stuffy and you keep them engaged outside of just the phone call.
I want to ask this question to Ryan, and then everyone else can kind of weigh in on it. But is it possible to give out too much information? Because, you know, we talk about giving prices online, and there's always a debate about should you, shouldn't you, or there's always a, you know, everyone's got their own view on this. But is there a point that you give out too much information? And I'll direct that question to Ryan, but everybody can kind of join in afterwards.
I mean, I think it's going to depend. Again, I'm always going to revert back to what's wrong, and most of the time in sales is lack of empathy for the buyer, right? So too much information from the buyer's perspective is going to be dependent on the buyer. And that's why it's so important to have great employees who can get a feel for what the buyer wants and deliver what they're asking for. That, again, back to that journey thing, because too much information for somebody who's a data decision maker is no. Like, they want all the data. They need every speck of information. They probably have a spreadsheet at home of all the vehicles they're looking at, and they're trying to compare and contrast. But a handful of information for an emotional buyer is too much, because they're buying for a different reason. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yes, the answer is yes and no. Yes, there's too much information, and no, there's not, depending on the person, which goes back to, like, if you're hiring, if you believe you can create the process that anybody can follow in doing this job, then you're probably going to struggle with this, because instead what you need is the right person doing the job.
You need to hire great people who will do it the way you want it done, who have the ability to be pragmatic and have the ability to have empathy for the person on the phone and get a feel for what they're trying to do, because there's more nuance than what can be done in a checklist.
You know, it's funny you say empathy, and I was just looking here in Facebook. Brad Smith actually had a comment that tied in perfectly with that. He said, most dealers are trying to compete in automotive digital, shop their pricing most of the time anyway, so their pricing should already be competitive. So he was saying, you're on the phone with these people, assuring the customers that you shop your pricing to be sure you're competitive can help take the conversation away from price, and you can focus back on the relationship and move towards the appointment. But I thought that's kind of an interesting comment from Brad about that's how good. To potentially address that.
Yeah. And everybody's doing that nowadays. I mean, you even go to a department store.
Right.
And the first thing they tell you is, you know, there's signs all over the place. It says, you know, we will match Amazon prices.
Sure.
You know, so even big box retailers are doing it as well.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I want to go back to Sean Christie and maybe talk about this. You know, Josh brought up a great point when he talked about follow-up, right? We know we've all heard fortunes in the follow-up. But there are a couple of other compelling reasons, and I think that salespeople in general aren't great at follow-up. Obviously, we're not. But I think the reasons that we're not great at follow-up are what's really important and need to be addressed, because you're never going to get better at follow-up if you're not sold on it. And a couple of things that have always motivated me when it comes to follow-up, there are really two things. One is that I understand that the customer, when they initially contact me or step onto the lot or whatever, if I don't get to a point where I've nailed something down or closed a deal and now it is a situation where we need to follow up, you know, there are two things that I know. One is that they're not often telling me the real story, right? Yeah. So, for example, someone may call into the store and you may ask, you know, hey, what do you want? What are you looking to accomplish? And, you know, oh, well, we're not really buying anything for another 3 months. When you know, if you do wind up following up, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, and you found out they bought a car, you realize right away, well, wait a second. That wasn't what they told you, right?
Sure. Buyers are liars.
Right. Buyers are liars, right? The old thing. The second reason is that things change very quickly.
Right.
So that same person that called up may have been very honest and truthful for you or with you and said, hey, I've got to get 10 grand for my car. And your website said it only gives 7 grand and I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Then they go to another dealership the next day and they get hit at 6,500. All of a sudden, there's an opportunity again there. And we put in our notes, oh, we're 3 grand away on the trade. Well, you know, I'm not going to call them. And yet, you know, the next day you could have had a viable opportunity.
Well, you know, that's a really good point, because sometimes they have to go to another dealer
to
be brought down to reality.
Sometimes. So Sean, you've heard a lot. Let's give you an opportunity to weigh in real quick.
Yeah, I just love the dialogue here. I think you guys are nailing it. Just, you know, listen to understand versus trying to respond, right? And having a little humor, make a connection. Because here's, again, like you guys mentioned, I think earlier, consumers visit 1.2 dealers before buying.
Yep.
Okay, and same thing. So I spent my entire career at Cars.com, 20-plus years, right? So I was on the other side of the fence. And the reality is, of all the traffic that Cars.com drove, same thing with Auto Trader, KBB, you name it, less than 9% of all those of that entire audience, think about this, less than 9% send a contact of any type. Of that 9%, a very, very small percentage send emails. So to me, here's the thing. It's like when consumers come into the show floor, they don't need to be sold. They have watched every video, looked at reviews, priced out your competitors. They have done everything. They are buyers. Don't screw it up. Now, I would say kind of the same thing with like the emails and the connections. They aren't just waking up and going, boy, oh boy, I think I'm going to contact a car dealer today, right?
Right?
Just like you aren't saying, boy, oh boy, I sure hope a vendor comes in here and sells me something I don't need. So don't, again, I go back, don't waste anybody's time. Be transparent, because you're kidding yourself. If you're not going to give it to them, they're going to get it somewhere else. And take advantage of it. If they're reaching out, guess what? Hot prospect, Glengarry Glen Ross lead, right? So give them what they want.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Sean. I mean, you're pretty much 90% sure when they step on the lot today that they're ready to buy.
Yeah.
Because they've already visited every dealership online.
Which is actually
now
nice.
They've actually ended up at yours.
Yeah.
They're a buyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I want to just say one thing in closing, then we're going to get closing comments from everyone. But, you know, it's funny because when Sean mentioned that how close to the buying place that the customer is at that point where they know more, they're ready to pull the trigger, right? I can remember a few years back, it was actually when I was working here prior before full time, I literally wanted to go purchase a Price Leader automobile. It was a little Kia Soul.
I remember that.
Yeah. And literally I'm on my motorcycle, right? That day I drove my motorcycle to work and I just went online. Okay. Price Leader, boom. Earlier that morning, I had stopped by the dealership to see if they physically had it. I saw it sitting there in the back and I just came to work. I called up the store, like a regular phone up, got a salesperson. I said, hey, I'm pre-approved. I'm coming over on my lunch break. I only have 30 minutes. I'm ready to do the deal. It's your Price Leader car. I've already seen this morning. It's in stock. I'll be there. I'd like to just sign. I'd like to sign up at lunchtime and then I'll leave my bike there, whatever. I'll come back, get it, whatever. I went there at lunchtime. Literally, it's 10 minutes from here, 5 minutes from here. And it took the salesperson about 15 minutes to search for the car. I finally went and grabbed him, took him out and said, that's it right there. And I didn't even want it washed because I was in that big of a hurry. But the point is that doing all of that, and I had even gone online before lunch to print out their $25 free Visa for test drive or whatever, which they saw that as well. But the point is that I gave them every single reason to say, hey, I'm coming to get that car, like right now. And it's still like,
still botched it.
Yeah. They still almost botched it. But the point is, like, why would you not be ready? So I just made a note here as Sean was talking and I put readiness, readiness. If you get an opportunity, wow, you need to be ready for that appointment when it arrives. That's the moment of truth. But anyway, let's get closing comments from our panel. We're going to start with you, Josh. If you could give us just 60 seconds and your contact info for dealers, we'll be happy to take that right now.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's all about being ready and having setting up the expectation for the appointment, setting up the expectation of what's going to happen. Like you said, like you're ready to buy 30 minutes. Like you should be able to deliver that. And so for dealers, I just need to look at all the processes and make sure that we're setting the right expectation when we set the appointment, when we're ready to go, when it's game time, like we walk out, there's the car, you know, you do the test drive, you do the, everything is just seamless and not leaving that customer like for 45 minutes trying to find the car in the back. And it's not even in the back, it's up front. You even know where the car is already as a consumer. And so just be ready. And it's all about that consumer experience. You know, everybody talks price. If you deliver a better customer experience over the phone, through email, through text, through everything, when they come to the showroom, it's a better experience. They'll pay more money for it. We buy Apple products. Some of you may be, you know, Android people, but we buy Apple products. They're extremely expensive, but it's all about the experience that they provide when you walk into their stores.
Yeah.
It's all about the product and the experience that they put on their advertisements and everything. It's an experience. So if you provide a better experience, you'll make more profit.
All right.
And so if you want to reach out to me, my cell phone number is 859-421-9377. And you can reach me at autodisruptor@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Josh. We'll go to Sean Christie.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, just not a ton to add. I just got to tell you, great dialogue here. And I think you guys have already shared like best practices, how you incorporate one, two, or three of these things. You're going to see some results. And again, I just go back to people and process. And each dealership has its unique DNA. What may work at one's not going to work at the other, right? But again, just be transparent because it's a transparent world out there. It's the instant gratification society. And if you're not giving them what they want, they're going to bounce. So, you know, best of luck and just what a great forum and appreciate being a part of it.
Thank you, Sean. And how do dealers find the VP of sales at Auto Lead Star?
There we go. Sean, S-E-A-N, a good Irishman, Sean at AutoLeadStar.com.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Awesome.
Elena.
All right. So I just have one quick thing to add in with that is, to keep your promises with the customer, because you may give them clarity and you may have the things ready for them, but if you say that you're going to have the car ready for them when they arrive with their name in the window, don't forget to put their name in the window, because the little things do count sometimes.
That's
and
right.
Not only the promises, before they come here and when they get here, but also after the sale as well. So I just wanted to add that in there really quick, but I really appreciate you guys having me on in all of our discussions today. If anybody needs to, that's ALAYNA at allenofmonroe.com. And my cell number is 517-745-4767. Sorry.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much, thanks, Elena. And we'll go to Ryan Kohler, CEO at Applicant Pro.
Yeah, I think great discussion today for sure. And I mean, I read a book on sales differentiation once, and they basically said if you start talking about pricing, it means that you failed to differentiate yourself and specifically to explain why you're different. And so, yeah, I look at that. I think there's a ton of good tactics on here. My one clear plug here is, you know, no matter what tactics and process you've put into place, if you try to execute those with the wrong people, you're going to be pounding your head against a brick wall. So it's great that you set your differentiation. And like was said, every dealership has a DNA and what they're trying to say they do differently and how they approach it differently. But if your people don't match that, if your ads don't attract people who match it, if you don't pick people who match it, you're just going to be pounding your head against the wall all day long.
Yep.
And so there is there's a person on the other end of the line, there's a person on your end of the line, and getting that right and feeling like you can teach anybody to do this job probably is just a recipe for a lot of frustration. But you can reach me at dealerhiring.com, or you can reach me via email, Ryan, R-Y-A-N-K, at dealerhiring.com. Thanks so much for having me, though.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks so much to our entire panel. I mean, rock stars from all over the country. That's what you get here on Auto Dealer Live. You also get some swag, baby, for liking and sharing the show. And so we got some stuff to give away. So, Chris,
can you
hold some of that stuff up as we draw some names here?
Mm-mm-mm. Look at this. Books. Hoodies.
All right, so let's start with the hoodie. Let's start with the hoodie.
I think this is the best. This is most exciting.
That is.
For me.
I love the hoodie.
That is
dope.
It's dope, man.
Dope. Shoot.
All right.
It fits good, too.
Throw right here in the bread basket.
Fits good in Tampa, Florida when it's 99 degrees.
Yeah, I haven't worn mine in quite a while.
At least it's a lightweight hoodie.
Let me see if I can do this. You know I throw like a girl, so. Oh, now I don't know if that's a bad stat. Is that a politically correct statement?
Yeah, today? Ooh, yeah. That's bad.
I meant a girl like on the U.S. soccer team. I mean, that means I can throw, okay?
Yeah. Hold on.
Look at that. Good perfect.
Wow.
Hey.
It was perfect.
What's that?
Didn't even have to move his hands.
Let's see.
All right. Who is it?
It is Mike. Doesn't he win like every week? Mike Phillips?
Not a hoodie. I think this is his first hoodie.
All right.
We'll see,
Phillips wins the hoodie.
Mike Phillips got the hoodie going on.
All right.
That dude probably doesn't even need to buy a stitch of clothing now.
I'm pretty sure he has a room in his house.
All right.
That's just
go.
Nothing but ADL stuff.
Hats.
Let's go with a long sleeve t-shirt.
It's probably all selling on eBay.
All right, here we go.
Yes. All right, let's go. Let me see if I can recapture.
Right in the bread basket. Come on.
I can recapture that.
In the bread basket.
Oh, it's still close. It's
still catchable.
Pretty good. Catchable, but.
Still catchable.
It was out of my line of sight.
Well,
I was lucky I caught it.
Typically, there are four or five that land on the ground before we actually draw names.
Very true. Very true.
So.
All right, so.
All right, the suspense is killing me.
Calvin Pierce.
You know,
Pierce.
I am so excited for Calvin for winning because Calvin's up in Canada.
Yes.
And
what did Calvin win?
A listener of our international show.
Long sleeve t-shirt.
And Calvin, t-shirt. Calvin's been a supporter since we began, I think, pretty much. Since I began 6 years ago or whatever it was.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now we're giving away
the books.
pack of books.
Oh, it's one of these. So these will be three separate winners, actually.
Oh, they're three separate winners.
Oh, we're splitting up, Chris. So we get more winners today.
I thought it was the package.
Okay. Yeah, so let's do the motivated book.
Let's do motivated. It's the bite-sized book by David Villa. By the way, you might have noticed, David Villa wasn't on set today.
He wasn't here today? Oh, jeez.
He's surfing it up over in Hawaii. I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
Was that public knowledge?
I think so.
He may not be there. That's all.
He sent us a video of it. It looked really interesting.
Okay. Well,
he
did post it on Facebook, so I guess it's
yep.
There we go. Oh, look at that throw again.
Man, all we right. are
Come
three
on
for
now.
Three today,
Come
man.
On.
Get it.
I'm kind of upset that we're not giving these books away as a package because now you're giving us time to screw up the story.
I know. I got two more throws.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Actually, we were splitting up.
Thomas Feldkamp.
Thomas Feldkamp.
Thomas Feldkamp.
Thomas Feldkamp. Just
motivated.
Won. Motivated by David Villa.
We'll get some motivation.
It's a signed copy, as I recall, as well.
Still branded.
Branded. Ooh, branded. This is one of my favorite. Branded. Branded. It reminds me of, Kind of reminds me of my tattoo, actually.
Okay. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. We're not going to
interesting
talk about my tattoo of the Empire State Building. Okay, here we go. Boom!
Man, these throws are good.
We are on fire today.
Yes. Oof. Talk about it.
Fuego. We are in fuego.
Fuego.
Fuego. All right. So this is Ted Hip.
Ted Hip. Ted Hip. Another huge supporter of ours. Branded. Ted, you got a copy of Branded.
That's
signed
right
by David Villa.
And up next, Grind.
Grind.
Get ready. It's
grind.
A new day.
Grind. This grind is for our hipper crowd. Grind. Okay. So we're going to... I'm sorry, I just can't help it.
That's funny.
At my moments. Okay, we could go. We could be batting 1,000 here. If,
we could.
If I
don't
get this,
don't
if,
screw
no pressure,
this up.
If I get this right.
Now watch, I'm gonna be the one that drops it.
No pressure. Shaquille O'Neal at the free throw line.
Oh yes.
You tried to screw that up too.
Come on, now I gave you a catchable ball.
But I thought it was coming over here.
Hey,
that's for all of
I can't make you look like a star if it's not something you have to go for.
That's true.
There we go.
That's true.
All right. So this is. If I can
unravel the suspense
this
from unfurling here these things is killing me.
Chris Campbell.
Chris Campbell.
Chris.
This
Campbell
thing is stage. This whole
stage
thing is
yeah
set up.
Yeah.
Chris Campbell wins every week, it seems. Or every other week, I should say.
You know, hey.
Hey, congratulations, you guys. I'm just kidding.
That's a lot of winners.
Congratulations,
yeah,
and thanks to our producer today.
Yeah, how about Mikey?
Yeah.
Or Mike, I should
you hop
say.
Hop in,
I
Mike.
Forget we have
hi
two mics on here. I can't call.
That's right. Lou's out today. Could be potentially, he'll be potentially growing his family soon. So,
oh,
you
he's
know,
a
he's,
father again.
Yeah, yeah. He will be very
soon. You know,
soon
some people
again
will do just about anything
to get attention.
No, I mean, like, think about the, if you think about this logistically, how he had to plan, you know, nine and a half months ago, whatever that incubation time is, mm-hmm, to actually be able to take off today for the show. I mean, if you think about the planning,
anything to get a day off.
That is calculating, bro. That is calculating. So yeah, so Mike, our producer, back in studio, and
killing
and
it.
For those of you who are listening, it is the Mike.
Mike Cherub.
The
Cherub. That,
nope.
That,
they cloned me while I was away. That's not technically the same person.
That's Mike Cherub, a blast from the past and with us.
Good stuff.
From now on.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm back.
But Lou will be here too.
Cherub's back.
I think I'm here.
Again.
I'm here.
All right. So
I'm back.
Think,
I'm
man
back for the next 2 weeks.
It's a good show.
I think we had some content. On
oh yeah,
on
I
phone,
love it.
Right.
Yeah.
So hey, make sure that you tune in next week. We'll be right here in studio, Auto Dealer Live. I think we're out.
See ya.